From the Xfinity Studios at WVON. We're your original social media. The Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
The views expressed on our programs are not necessarily those of WVON, Midway Broadcasting Corporation, or our participating sponsors.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. You are listening to, you are watching, you are witnessing the Buchanan and Seaton Show. I am your host, Atiba Buchanan. I am joined and flanked by my main man, my pal, my friend, my confidant, my brother in crime, if you will, Mr. David Seaton. How are you, sir?
Glad to be back at WVON. Glad to have both of us in the studio at the same time.
Amen to that.
Socially distanced and socially conscious.
There you go. We got a new theme to the show. Putting that on a hat. That's why he's the co-host, ladies and gentlemen. So good to hear your voice, man.
You too. You too.
WVON listeners, we are so happy to be with you. I cannot tell you how much we appreciate this time with you, and we are here with you from now until midnight. We've got so much to discuss, and we have wonderful guests today. So let's get right into it. We're not going to waste any time. Hour one, you definitely want to be here for this. We are going to be discussing national politics, what is going on with the Trump administration, also what is going on with the Joe Biden soon to be administration, but his campaign. And we have a wonderful guest to discuss this with us, to help us analyze this, Mr. Benjamin Dixon. Mr. Dixon, are you there, sir?
I am here.
Excellent, excellent. He is the host of the Benjamin Dixon Show. You can find him on Spotify. What other platforms can people find you on, Mr. Dixon?
Basically anywhere you can download a podcast, or YouTube, Facebook, and anywhere. I'm there.
You got it. You got it. He was on the show a few months back when David was out. And so this is his first time joining us full, you know, with a full Monty, so to speak. David and I are both here, and I have been looking forward to this moment for some time. Benjamin and I connected very well last we spoke. Both of us, I think, are pretty much ready to admit that we're bleeding heart liberals. We're certainly progressives, and very unapologetic about it. Mr. Seaton here is definitely more of a Biden, Democrat centrist, if you will.
Definitely a Biden. Yeah.
Pragmatist, if you will.
Definitely.
And I know we've got, you know, and I've been waiting for the three of us to kind of hash it out for some time. So this has been, this is going to be history in the making tonight. We're so glad that you can make time for us tonight, Mr. Dixon. Thanks again.
No, I'm definitely glad to be here, man. If there's anywhere I'm going to be this time of night, it's going to be chopping it up with some brilliant brothers. So
there
thanks,
we go.
Thanks for having me.
So let's hop right into it, man. We've got a lot going on this week in national politics. We've seen the Supreme Court come down on Donald Trump as far as his taxes are concerned, indicating that the Southern District of New York, or whoever is investigative authority, can pursue his tax information, although they did kind of give the stiff arm to Congress in what they were looking to receive from the Trump administration concerning his financials. What do you make of that ruling?
You know, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't make a whole lot of it. I think it is it's significant, but it's insignificant. And this is what I mean. It's significant because Donald Trump is attempting to rule this country instead of govern it as the president of the United States. And I think it was more of a statement from even the conservatives on the bench, at least two of the conservatives on the bench, that they were not going to sign off on his propensity to be a dictator. And so I think it was more of a message. The reason I don't think it's as significant is because, well, there's so many more things that are happening right now that I don't believe that his tax returns are going to have an impact on. We need to get rid of Donald Trump before November. I don't know if we're going to make it to November the way he's governing this country right now. And I certainly don't know if we'll make it to January. I know that's hyperbolic, but I don't feel like these tax returns are going to be in motion to have any significant impact before November, and certainly before January.
Well, let's talk about that for a minute, because you gave us a lot to unpack. First of all, we can talk about Justices Kavanaugh And what was in the what's the other name? The other new guy.
Gorsuch.
Gorsuch, right. So
Gorsuch,
everybody
yeah.
assumed that they would just, you know, pretty much rubber stamp whatever Donald Trump wanted to have yep. done. And between the two of them and on occasion, is it Kennedy?
Roberts.
Roberts, thank you.
Roberts.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Roberts, we have just seen Donald Trump really catch the flux with these cases, so to speak. What does that take the wind out of the sails, though, when Democrats say you need to vote for whomever because of the Supreme Court? Because now we're seeing the Supreme Court isn't as right leaning as we would have thought.
Yeah, I'm not going to take that chance. Right. I think the best news that we've gotten in this pandemic has unbelievably come from the Supreme Court. Right. And, you know, it's going to sound weird, but shout out to Chief Justice John Roberts. Right.
Right.
He's been on the right side of so many decisions. I remember when he was confirmed underneath George W. Bush, and you know, I thought it was, you know, I didn't think it was the end of the world, but I'm like, well, here we go, right? The conservative push on this bench. It does, though, to answer your question, it does suggest that perhaps, and honestly, I think perhaps with the push of Justice Roberts, I think Justice Roberts is more concerned with the validity of the institution. I think and the respect for the institution of the Supreme Court. And so I believe he may have more sway on that court for those specific reasons. And then perhaps Gorsuch and Kavanaugh want to separate themselves from the stain that will be Donald Trump. So I think the court has plenty of reasons to adjudicate fairly. But again, I'm not going to take that chance with, let's say, Donald Trump getting 4 more years, because the whole makeup of this court is going to be, you know, what? You got Thomas, he's going to be gone. Ruth Bader Ginsburg, she's going to be, you know, there's too much at play.
Well, this is David. Let me play devil's advocate and just be completely cynical. Looking at the Supreme Court ruling that they made on Donald Trump's taxes, you did have justices Samuel Alito and Clarence Thomas, who were the two dissenting voices in that 7-2 mm-hmm. ruling. But all 9 of the justices disagreed with Jay Sekulow when he made the argument before the Supreme Court that a president, while president, has temporary immunity across the board.
Yeah.
And that was that was probably the most important principle that was asserted by the Supreme Court. But let me be cynical and ask you this. Is it possible that they did this foreseeing that, as it stands right now, that it's highly probable that Donald Trump is going to lose this November, and they didn't mm-hmm. want to make this sweeping precedent that a Democratic president was going to be able to take advantage of?
I think that's a reasonable, you know, it is cynical, but it's reasonable. I don't know how much I could separate their right decision from being cynical about the next administration. I don't know how possible it is to separate those two. But even if it was cynical, it's still the right decision, because I'm going to be quite honest with you. Like, we don't need any president to have that type of power.
Exactly.
I think one of the biggest problems we have in this country, Democrat or Republican, is a presidency that is entrusted with entirely too much power. So I do see the cynicism part, and I do believe that could be a factor. Could be a factor, but they still landed on the right decision, in my opinion.
And when you start talking about unchecked power by the presidency, I mean, that's what Bill Barr espouses, is that the president, it should be a unitary executive, that he has no, he can't be. I mean, they were literally arguing before the Supreme Court that Donald Trump
yeah.
can't even be investigated. He can't.
Right.
They had already said, based on the Justice Department memo, that he couldn't be charged. He couldn't be arrested. They went so far yeah. as to try and argue that he couldn't even be investigated. And now, with the commutation of Roger Stone's sentence this
yeah.
evening that was issued by Trump, and the fact that Bill Barr has simultaneously summarily dismissed the AGs
yes.
from the SDNY, the EDNY, and Washington D.C., which are the three AGs or the three attorneys general who were investigating, had ongoing investigations into Trump and the Trump administration. It, in effect, all he's done is just kind of backdoor implement this unitary executive
right.
policy anyway.
Right, right. So a couple of things there. You've laid it out perfectly, and it's so important what you just laid out. Bill Barr is if Donald Trump is the greatest threat to this country, Bill Barr is the second greatest threat to this country. And to the extent that while it may be a futile effort, I think it is worthwhile to impeach him because of his actions, because his actions are a clear and present threat to the Constitution and to our branches of government. He has completely dismissed, or not even dismissed, let me rephrase that. He has no regard whatsoever for the Constitution, and he has all regard for an authoritarian style dictatorship led by Donald Trump. And that's what we're really facing. And to be quite honest with you, those are the reasons. While I have plenty of beef and problems with Joe Biden, that's the reason. Like, we can't play around with this. We can't. This man has shown us more since this pandemic. There was enough evidence to get rid of Donald Trump before this pandemic, but his behavior since the pandemic has shown us every reason why he needs to go. And if we could get him out of there before November, that needs to happen. But I do feel like there is an inadequate amount of political opposition from the Democrats, especially when you have someone like Bill Barr doing everything that you just outlined.
And let me just follow up. Let me just follow up with regard to you saying that he needs to be impeached again. Even if he loses this November, mm-hmm. and Joe Biden becomes president and he's inaugurated in January, the reason that we want to impeach him, even if we have to do it after November, is because if Donald Trump loses, that means he can still possibly run in 2024. And I've heard people posit this and say, oh, he couldn't run in 2024. He'll be 78. Well, Joe Biden is 78. The most important reason that we should still impeach him is because if we get a conviction, that removes the possibility of him running for office in the future.
Yeah. I think there's a couple of things underlying what you just said. I agree with that analysis. I do believe that the only thing I would add to it is that if we do not go through the machinations of an impeachment, then it's almost tacitly co-signing it, the behavior.
Exactly.
It's like turning a blind eye to the behavior. And even if you lose, it has to be on record, given that America actually survives. Right. It needs to be on record that this type of behavior from the president or the attorney general has to be spoken out against. And so for your reasons that you outlined, as well as the reason that it has to go on the record that we did not sit by and allow this president to go unchallenged when we had the power to challenge him.
Mr. Dixon, this is Atiba. And a couple of times now you've made the passing comment, you know, if we survive, and you've talked about him trying to literally usurp America as it stands. Can you articulate that a little bit about what your concerns are when you say that?
Yeah, I do. I believe America is far more fragile than we would believe. We are all comfortable in our homes right now. But the president of the United States has shown that he understands America's Achilles heel. America's Achilles heel is a president who doesn't care, who simply is he has no shame. And there's no ability to shame him into power, into correct behavior.
Right.
And he, not only that, but he's surrounded by people who don't challenge him, and he's surrounded by a party who co-signs it. And now what can we do with Donald Trump? If we can't impeach him, we are literally stuck with him, and he is showing that he's willing to try anything. Now, to get to some specific examples, COVID-19, he's literally overseeing the death of 135,000 Americans.
And counting.
So when you combine the authoritarianism of Donald Trump, his complete and wanton disregard for the Constitution, and no one can control him, not even the House of Representatives underneath the political opposition party. And, I mean, I just don't think we realize how fragile and tenuous this is, because he's creating conditions for even more people to die. So I think if all these pieces are of the puzzle are on the table, then we should really be concerned, because just because we feel like we're strong, we can certainly crumble from within. And we got the right guy in the White House right now to make that happen.
And hearing you say all that, and not one time did you even get to utter the word Putin. Because that's an entirely separate conversation, but it is a part of this conversation. So what do you make of that as far as when let's tie in Putin to this conversation, what we're hearing about him putting bounties out on U.S. soldiers and basically Republican congressmen and senators giving it a shrug.
You know, I in my line, I really have not put a lot of stock into the Putin narrative for one reason. Not because I don't believe he's actively doing the things that he's been accused of. I don't see why he would not do those things. The reason I say it like that is because the nature of our international order, every country is at odds against every country. And any advantage that Putin can get, whether it's through Donald Trump or whether it's through any other type of machinations, I fully expect him to do that. And I hate to sound callous about that, but that comes as a result of my actual studies in political science and international relations. I'm a realist, and I see that, you know, the behaviors that America does, that we engage in, rather, it's the same thing that I fully expect other countries to engage in. Now, this is not condoning it. Now, coming down to what you just said about no one actually stepping out and speaking out against it or and investigating it, I think that is atrocious. But I think it is also the result of Donald Trump throwing so much at us every single day. I expect our leaders to be able to sort through it and
so
to handle
weary.
Every situation, but we're weary. We can't even keep something in the news cycle more than 5 hours.
But
it used to be a 24 news hour cycle.
Let me push back on that just for a second. The one thing that the Democrats who are in control of the House, the one lever of power that they have access to that they have not exercised, and Trump has basically given them the blueprint for that power, talking about trying to force schools to go back into session this fall. Mm-hmm. All the Democrats in the House have to do is start defunding executive branch agencies. They can defund the Department of Justice. They can defund people forget. And let me just remind those of you who are listening, all bills that appropriate money come out of the House of Representatives, and the House has the ability to stop issuing that money. Now, once that money gets over to the executive branch, they can do whatever they want with it, which is how Trump took money from the military budget to try and fund the building of the wall. And the Supreme Court said that it was unconstitutional because he took money that was appropriated for one thing and put it to another. But Nancy Pelosi is holding all of the cards here. If we want to stop Bill Barr or any other executive branch agency that's operating outside of the Constitution, all Nancy Pelosi has to do is stop the check.
Yeah. I want to say this as a sidebar. I mean, I agree 100% with what you're saying, but I absolutely am thrilled to be on this call with you guys. I love these types of conversations, these rigorous types of conversations, and I hope this show grows tremendously, man, because everybody needs to hear the two of you and this dialogue, because honestly, I had not even considered that. And shame on Nancy Pelosi. Now, you're going to hear me talking about this on my show every day going forward, and I'm going to have to give you credit for it, right? I give credit where credit is due. But shame on them. They have the ability to stop him in this fashion, even outside of the of impeachment, and yet they're doing nothing. And I am desperately angry. I don't even know if that phrase makes sense, but that's how I feel. I am desperately furious at the fact that we don't have anyone shouting at the top of their lungs in position to fight on behalf of the American people when we have a sociopath who is more than willing to sacrifice our lives for the quarterly profit margins of his buddies. Where is Nancy Pelosi? Why is she not using those powers?
The only thing that I can surmise, and again, we have to keep in mind, or we have to keep this in its correct context. Donald Trump he's not doing the things that he's doing because he's this political savant that has studied the intricacies of the Constitution and knows these obscure arcane rules.
Right.
He's doing the things that he's doing because he's ignorant of the Constitution. And so he keeps trying to do these things, and he gets this pushback. I can only surmise that the rules of decorum and the norms are still being observed by Nancy Pelosi and the other longstanding members on the Democratic side. The only thing that frustrates me about that, going back to Barack Obama and fast forwarding through today, is that the Democrats have never come to the realization that Republicans don't care. Republicans will do and say whatever they think they need to say and do in the moment for the sake of power. They don't care about being, they don't care about hypocrisy. They don't care about how it looks. They don't care about optics. All they care about is what is going to work in the moment. And that is the reason why I'm so frustrated with the Democrats, is because just like the conversations that are being had in the Senate right now, that the Senate Democrats are saying if they get control of the Senate, they're going to repeal the filibuster, and they're letting Mitch McConnell saying, well, you might regret that. No, we might not regret that. We might regret that we haven't done it before now. Just go ahead and how about this? How about, let me go to the extreme. The filibuster is unconstitutional. There's nothing in the filibuster. There's nothing in the Constitution about the filibuster. The filibuster is a rule. So if it takes taking back that rule so that we can get some semblance of the United States Constitution, the rule of a majority of 51 votes in the Senate controlling the destiny of this country, that's what we need to do.
We're going to sneak in
three quick things if I have time.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay. First of all, that is my number one gripe with the Democratic Party. I cannot stand the fact that they continue to play by rules that the Republicans now realize if we are unreasonable, if we behave unreasonably, and the Democrats continue to try to abide by these rules, we can attain and amass a significant amount of power, and we can basically get away with anything we want to get away with. This has been going on for a very long time, and you're correct. It started underneath Barack. It probably started before Barack Obama, but certainly we felt it in the Obama administration. Number two, I think, Atiba, I wanted to invite you on my show previously, but I absolutely got to get the both of you on my show this week, so let's make that happen, because I need this conversation to be on my show.
Oh, absolutely.
And last but not least, number three, brother, if you feel that way about the Democratic Party, and you're absolutely right, I'm just curious how you could be a Joe Biden supporter.
I have that's okay, because I can answer that question, but I think we got a
full minute. Plus, go ahead.
We got a full minute plus. Okay, that's going to be hard to jam pack that into a minute and a half. What I'll say is this: Bernie Sanders is here's what it is. The thing that we have not learned on the Democratic side that the Republicans have mastered. They have mastered it. Donald Trump is the perfect example of what I'm about to say. Your message means nothing if you don't have the right messenger. Bernie Sanders, he has come up with brilliant plans. He has been intellectually consistent over decades, going back to when he was the mayor of Burlington. Unfortunately, in 2020, he is an imperfect messenger. Because he goes out there and says, I'm a democratic socialist, and the first thing that baby boomers hear, people from the baby boomer generation and people from the silent generation, the first thing they hear is socialist. What's the first thing they think when they hear socialist? They think about World War II. They think about communism. They think about Hitler. They think about Mussolini. They think about Mao. They think about Stalin. And now that's a function of just a general ignorance and a lethargy in our education system, that people cannot compartmentalize socialism, a country that has a socialist economy that's ruled by a dictator or totalitarian form of government, as opposed to a democratic having a democratic socialist form of government. So I don't necessarily have a problem so much with Bernie Sanders, but I am pragmatic, and I know that as of July 2020, The best person to go against Donald Trump in this season that we have right now is Joe Biden, because too many people were going to be off put by the labels that Bernie Sanders was going to use. And because he is genuine and because he is true to what he believes, he wasn't going to do that dance of, well, let me think of a different way to say democratic socialist so people won't, it won't be so off putting. No, he was true to his word. He was true to what he believed. He went out there and said it. And unfortunately, that ostracized too many people.
With that said, we do have to take a break. Can you hang with us through the break, Mr. Dixon?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely. So you're listening to the Buchanan and Seaton Show on WVON, AM 1690, The Talk of Chicago. We will be right back.
More from Buchanan and Seaton, plus your phone calls, coming up on The Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.